stuff, because they're issues that are important for us to deal with. And even before Pastor Ken approached me and let me know he was going to be gone on vacation, I had felt this message in my heart for weeks and months ahead of time, and I really felt the Lord leading me to go this direction, and so that's what we're going to do. And so today's message is titled Notes from Your Youth Pastor. It was originally 10 things your youth pastor wants you to know, but I thought if I put the 10 things in there, I'm just going to have a riot. So I narrowed it down some, and it's just notes from your youth pastor. So let's dive in. One of the first things that I want to talk about is frequently I hear from students, I didn't know that was happening. Why didn't anyone tell me we're doing that? And so I'll pull out my handy little folder thing here. And so, youth, I just want to let you know in case you're unaware. Now, trust me, you're going to be like, hey, he's going over program notes. This is all going to come together. You just wait. I've got a master plan here. Youth, every month I put out this. It's called the Refuge Report. All right? Every one of you that your parents have a mailbox, it goes in your mailbox. Okay? And parents, yes, I know I'm telling the youth to read it, but I'm going to tell you a secret. Parents, I really put it in your mailbox for you. Let me just give you a brief summary of what the Refuge Report is. I know you're like, why is this part of the message? Just wait. It's coming together. Just hold on. Just bear with me here. The Refuge Report, the first section here, I talk a little bit about what we're going to be talking about the Wednesday nights for the coming month. I'll just give a little blurb. So that way, as parents, you can be talking with your kids. Okay, what are you guys talking about? Or I know you're talking about this, so tell me, you know, some of the details that you talked about this last Wednesday. Next, I put calendar notes with dates. This one right here, this is August. September's will be out next week, I hope. This one goes all the way through November with calendar dates. Okay, so that you can know ahead of time what we've got planned and when we've got planned. Then, because the next question then always is, what's this event? Look at this, the Refuge Report even answers that. Below, I have Refuge News that comprises the bulk of the Refuge Report, and it talks a little bit about each of the events in the calendar notes. See what I did there? So your answers are right here. And then at the bottom, I have some prayer requests for the ministry. Now, I also send the Refuge Report out to parents in email form, for those of you that are technologically alive. So you can get that in email form. If you're not on that email list, I also send out notes and things like that in those emails, you know, some upcoming things, maybe stuff changes. I send those out. So if you're not on that list, just email me. My email address is real simple. It's justinblackwood@gmail.com. Now, unfortunately, church, I know I'm picking on the Refuge students and their parents right now. Unfortunately, someone's car alarm is going off, unfortunately. AD new moment right there. I made sure I set my phone down before I came up here. I know it's supposed to be off, but what if there's an emergency, right? All right. Unfortunately, church, this is not a youth group only problem. All right. Very frequently we hear from people around here, well, I didn't know we were doing that. Well, no one told me that was going on. Look right here. This is called a church calendar. And our lovely and wonderful Miss Jetty Buttermore puts a lot of work into this church calendar, all right? And on it, we've got all sorts of events. I mean, seriously, look how full that thing is. That's impressive, all right? We do a lot of stuff here, all right? And so not only are the events on here, but also there's birthdays and anniversaries. Unfortunately, mine's not on here, January 8th, just in case you want to buy me a present. But we put this out not only in paper form in every single mailbox. It's on a lot of bulletins. We also have a church calendar that we put on the web page that's like months further ahead than the one you get each month. All right, so if you go to the web page, there's a little box that's got the Gmail link on it. It's got all the events that's going on. So you don't ever have to have the excuse anymore, well, I didn't know that was happening, because look, that's right there. All right. You just wait right there. Okay. The next thing going right along with that is trips. Okay, we're going to come back to the refuge parents and their kids here. We offer a lot of trips for refuge students, okay? And I'm going to be honest with you. Most of these I offer them because I think they're important. Very few trips do we do that are just fun, okay? Very few of our events that we do have no real impact in their lives other than that was fun and a good time, okay? We did Summer Splash this week, which was just a good time, right? Can I get an amen? Wow. Okay, so Summer Splash is canceled for next year, apparently. But we do very few events that are just for a good time. So parents, I know that money is something that is tight, all right? I know that it's something that's it's hard to let go of. And so I want you to know that when we do an event, we do it because we think it is important for your student and it will have value in your student's life. You know, one of the complaints that you get a lot, whether it's in the church or in the youth group, is I just don't feel like I'm connected. The youth group's not very friendly. I don't feel like I have any friends there. A big reason students say things like that is because they're not really plugged in, all right? And one of the best ways for your student to get plugged in is on these trips that we offer, all right? I don't know what it is. There is something special about cramming a bunch of students into a van and driving for several hours. There's something awful about it, too. But there's something special about cramming a bunch of students into a van and driving somewhere and spending, maybe it's overnight, maybe it's like a youth camp or it's 5 days long, but there's something special about it where you build friendships and bonds and memories that last for years, if not a lifetime, all right? And so if you've got a student that says, I don't feel like I have any friends in the youth group, I don't feel like I'm plugged in, maybe you need to start getting them plugged into some of the things that we offer. You know, we offer a lot of events for them to try out. You know, we have youth camp, we have the Met, we have Bold, we have the mystery event, which is coming up pretty quick here. We get guys camp out, we do a girls night out, we do Ignite. I mean, almost once a month, every month all year long, we have events. And by the way, just quick note, the 2 months I always take off December. You're welcome, parents. I always take off July, so that way there's time for family visiting and for vacations, so you don't have to worry about that sort of thing, MVBS in July. So, but pretty much every other month we've got something going on, all right? Now, the problem is, church, now we're going to shift back to everyone else, is a lot of you say things like that. A lot of you have said, I don't feel like I'm connected, I don't feel like I have any friends, that church isn't very friendly. One of the things I would ask you is, are you plugged in? You know, going back to this calendar, hey, thanks for waiting for me right there, we offer life groups, we have Sunday school, we have Mom's Life, we have this, student leadership study. We offer SLS. Almost every Saturday we've got something for men. We've got young married stuff. By the way, on the 31st it says young marrieds. We moved that to September. Sorry about that. But we offer a whole wide range of events for you to plug in and get involved. And so if you're sitting there saying, well, this church isn't very friendly, I don't feel like I'm connected, I don't feel like I'm plugged in. That's the problem with pointing a finger at someone, is there's those other three darn fingers that point right back at you. You know, it's like, stop it. All right. And so if you're feeling like that, I would challenge you, especially try a life group. All right. Can I get life group leaders to toss a hand up? If you lead a life group, put your hand up. All right. There's a few very timid life group leaders today. But we have a whole slew of life groups that you can get a part of for just about every age, from middle school to Lloyd. All right? Going back to youth trips just real quick, I just want to share one brief story. Oh, I got plenty of time. Look at that. Oh, man, I got tons of time. Buckle up. All right. One quick story, and this one wasn't at this church. The rest of them will probably be people from directly here. But this wasn't from this church. We do a youth camp every year, and I've gone to this youth camp for I don't know how long. And it costs about $200, $250. And I had a parent come to me and said, we can't afford to send all of our kids to camp this year. It's just too much money. We just can't do that. And I said, okay, you know, I understand, you know, I'm willing to do, we have this much money that we can do to help if that's what you want to do. But their pride was unwilling to accept the money. And so they said no. And a couple weeks later, I'm having a conversation with one of their sons. And he was all excited and telling me about his sports camp that he was going to go to. And he was going to go get to train with the pros for 3 days. And I did a little digging, and it cost his parents $5,000 to send him to train with the pros for 3 days. And it ended up not even being like the pros. Like, it was like college guys, you know, which, okay, that's still cool. I mean, I could go play with the Huskers for a day. That would be fun, right? But, or not fun. But, depending on how much padding I have. But you know, I just got to thinking, about priorities. What are really the priorities in your home? And that's what a lot of this comes down to is you don't know what's on the calendar because it's not a priority to you, maybe. You're not going to life groups. You're not plugging in to Sunday school. You're not plugging into mom's life. You're not plugging into these events that we offer for you because maybe your priorities are just a little bit off. Wednesday night. This is my next point I want to talk about. As a young believer, Wednesday night to me was incredibly important. All right, I didn't get saved till I was in high school, and Wednesday night for me was that middle of the week deep breath. Right? It's all week long. You work in the world, most of you. A few of you work at Christian schools and things like that. But most of the week, all week long, you guys work in the world. And the world is a bitter, brutal, harsh place where the name of Jesus isn't particularly fond of. And it's hard. And so for the middle of the week, for me, the chance to come to church and to get away and to take that deep breath was so important to me. And we offer a lot of programs on Wednesday nights. If you don't know about our Wednesday nights, it starts off at 6 o'clock. We offer a supper that's starting up Scott. Where's Scott? Starting up when? First Wednesday of September, the supper starting back up. Supner, sorry, Pastor Kenism. Could you come up a term for Pastor Kenisms? PKisms or something. But we have supper that starts at 6 o'clock. Technically it's a free meal. It's donations. But if you don't have the money to afford to eat, don't eat. If you have a little extra money you could afford to help pay for someone else, pay a little extra for someone else. All right. But it's donation only and it's really good food. I've never once got to the end of supper and went, I should have gone to McDonald's. That's for sure. And, so we offer that. So you don't have the excuse of, well, we just won't have time to eat. Cause look, we're going to have a meal right for you. And we're not even going to technically charge you anything. Then we have our programs start at about 6:45. For adults, we have a life group led by Chris Sobronic. Where's Chris? Is Chris here? Great. He was going to be an example twice and now he's not even here. Someone call him. We also have prayer force upstairs. That I think actually Lloyd leads, right? For kids, starting at pre-K, someone correct me if I'm wrong, we have the nursery for parents with kids. Then we starting at pre-K to fifth grade, we have kids clubs. And then from sixth grade through seniors in high school, we have the refuge. And so there's something literally for the entire family. And to be honest, I don't know, as a believer that works in the world, how you survive without Wednesday night. Because you need that deep breath. You need that chance to get away from the world. All right? And I know some people say, well, that's the only time that I have to really connect with my family. You know, we're so busy every other night. Well, to that I say, well, what are your priorities? You know, maybe you need to cancel something on a Tuesday night so that you can spend time with your family on Tuesday and then get your kids on Wednesday night. And I'm not just trying to plug a program. I'm saying this genuinely because I'm concerned for your spiritual health, because it's important for you to get that breather. There's a reason we offer those programs, all right? Because it's a chance for you to stop and take a deep breath and get away from the world, okay? Not that I necessarily want a lot more people here on Wednesday nights, because trust me, this place is packed as it is, and we just, but it's important for you. All right, this is supposed to be funny. Nobody laughed, John. It's important for you. Another thing that I'd like to point about Wednesday nights. If you started coming to church here on Sunday mornings because you got plugged in on a Wednesday night, maybe it was recently, maybe it was 10 years ago, but if you started coming here because you got plugged in on a Wednesday night, would you raise your hand for me? Nice and proud. If you're here this morning because you started coming on Wednesday night, raise your hand. Some of you aren't raising your hands. I see some of you. Thank you. And actually, there's a few families that are missing. But it is an important, it is an incredible evangelism tool. All right, I've started keeping track on Sunday mornings how many people really started coming because they plugged in. Maybe their kid plugged in on a Wednesday night first, and then they started coming on Sunday mornings. But it's a pretty incredible evangelism tool, and it's pretty remarkable to find out how many people really plugged in first on Wednesdays. And so I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to plug a program. I'm not just saying this because I want to increase attendance numbers. I'm saying this because it's important for your spiritual health, all right? And because I think we need to evaluate what are our priorities. Is that episode of Duck Dynasty really that important? By the way, almost everything's done by Duck Dynasty time. We do that on purpose. But what are your real priorities? What are you putting first? Now, Jeremiah 9. Oh, wait. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Next. Sorry. Got ahead. A little far. Notes. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. And the next couple topics are not PC. Okay? And I'm probably going to have some teenagers angry with me afterwards. And elders, you might need to protect me from a couple dads that want to punch me in the jaw. You're laughing. I'm not entirely joking. The next thing I want to talk about is modesty. Dads, wake up. If you're a dad, wake up. Look at me right now. I'm serious. No more joking. Serious time. Dads, look at me, because I'm mainly talking to you that are fathers right now. Specifically at this moment, we're going to get to the boys in a second. You guys just wait. I'm coming for you. We're going to talk about your young daughters right now. How many of you fathers, now I don't want you to actually respond because I really wouldn't like the answer some of you would probably give. I think I know what you'd all say. How many of you would be all right with a boy, maybe your daughter's age, or a college student, or a man, seeing your daughter in her underpants? I would certainly hope none of you, right? I would hope you would all say, no, that is inappropriate, and if that happened, I would probably remove their eyes from their head. I would hope you would all say that. The question that I have to ask then is, why do you allow your daughters to wear bikinis? And I'm not talking about people out there. I'm talking about people in here. Why is it inappropriate for someone to see your daughter or your wife, maybe, in their underpants, but you're okay with them seeing your daughter or your wife in a bikini? You do understand that most bikinis actually cover less, right? How is that socially acceptable? How is one okay and one isn't? Think about that. And I could go right now through a whole slew of verses on modesty, but I don't think I need to. I could tell you right now, I know for a fact there are at least two families that are here right now that will not go to the Gretna public pool anymore, Not only because there are girls dressed inappropriately, but more importantly, some of your daughters are there dressed inappropriately, and they don't want their children to see your daughters in less than their underpants. Dads, what are you doing? Come on. I'm serious. What is even the point in your daughter even owning it, let alone going to a public place? How are you doing your child a favor? Guys, you know what you think when you see a girl in a bikini. You know the thoughts that go through your head. And you know the thoughts that went through your head when you were a teenage boy. Why would you let someone think that about your daughter? Come on. And girls, quit staring at me like that. Because you shouldn't be in them. I'm serious. You can call me fuddy-duddy or whatever you want, but it is wrong and it is unbiblical. I'm serious. Dads, wake up. And you know what? Maybe some of you dads genuinely don't know. I know if I were to have a daughter, there's no way you're probably going to get me caught shopping with them. I'm sorry. I will love her dearly and we will do lots of fun things together, but I would rather stab myself in the leg with a screwdriver than go shopping for clothes. So maybe you dads genuinely don't know. Moms, come on. Moms, you know how your husband responds when he sees you dressed whatever. You know how your husband responds. It's not like you're unaware. Why would you provoke that in outside people? Think. All right, guys, your turn. All right, let me get my bag here. How many of you know what this is? How many of you have one in your house? Yeah, this is a Nintendo DS, right? And this is actually a DSi. I don't have the fancy 3DS like Evan. And a lot of you buy Nintendo devices because they have safe, family-friendly games. Those Fs were hard for me. For the most part, they do, right? I mean, they generally speaking, Nintendo makes good, family, wholesome, clean stuff. And so you buy them for your kids. That's good. I think you should. There's something you need to be aware of, this device. And we'll get to others. This device, did you know it is Wi-Fi capable? Right now, I could turn this on and log on to the internet right now. Are you aware of that, parents? And are you aware that there are pornographic companies that make material specifically coded for these devices and put it on the internet for these devices to go to for free? You aware of this? They do that on purpose. They are targeting boys starting at the ages of 9 to 10. Because they want your young men and, to be honest, an increasing number of young ladies to be hooked to that material before they're adults so that when they're adults, they'll pay for it. Are you aware of that? Your iPod touches. We have a lot of iPod touches here at this church. Your smartphones, your tablets, your iPads. All of those mobile devices, pretty much anything with a screen now. Your PlayStation portables. Pretty much anything with a screen now has Wi-Fi capabilities. And there is someone making inappropriate material for each of those devices. And they're putting it on there for free, so that your kids will get addicted to it and pay for it when they're older. How many of you, don't actually raise your hand, how many of you then let your kids have that Wi-Fi access and let them go to their room and use that device unmonitored? Now, you can say, well, I'll just check the browser history. You know they know ways around that. Like, they're not stupid. Most of them are probably more technologically savvy than you. All right, now some of them may not be. But they're not dumb. They know ways around browser history. And that's super easy on these devices, too. I'm not giving you solutions on how you deal with that, but I think you do need to. And I know some of you do have plans in place to prevent and protect and that sort of thing. And I'm not saying that these devices are evil. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying you shouldn't have them in your home. But I am saying that if you do let them in your home, you need to monitor them. Because God gave you the students, the children in your home, because he said, I'm going to trust Brian and Andrea Springer with Isaiah and Sarah, because I know they will raise them in a way that's glorifying to me. He said, I am going to trust Scott and Kathy with Kyle and Brett and Andrew and Alyssa, because I am going to trust them to raise those kids in a way that honors me. He gave you those kids because he trusted you with them. Those are his kids. And if you haven't come to the understanding that they're not your kids, they're his kids, you need to. They're his. And he gave you to them because he trusted you to raise them in a way that is glorifying, honoring, and pleasing to him. Are you doing it? Because you will be held accountable for it. Not might, you will be held accountable for how you've raised your children. Your job is not to be their buddy. Your job is not to be their friend. Your job is to be their mom and their dad. And I can tell the kids that come through my youth group whose parents are their buddies. I can always tell. Stop being their buddy and be their mom and their dad. Yes, they are not going to like you sometimes. Yes, they are going to say hateful things, but they will thank you someday. Your job isn't to get liked. Your job is to be honoring to the Father's desires for the kids he's trusted you with. And letting your kids have unfettered access to these devices, letting your daughters wear bikinis in public, I have to call an egg an egg. I don't know if it's lazy or stupid parenting, but it's one or the other. Maybe both. Sorry. I've got to call an egg an egg. It is what it is. Sorry. Not really. Not really sorry. The truth hurts sometimes. And I don't know about you, but I would rather my kids be angry at me for a night and have them in with me in eternity than have my kids like me and be held accountable for the poor job I did raising them. It's a decision you need to make for your own home. And I know you don't like some of these things. I also know there are some ladies that are here right now that would stand up if I asked them to and give testimony on fathers and brothers that stood up for them and said, I don't want you to leave the house wearing those clothes. I'm getting a nod from at least one of them right now. I'll stop there for the moment. Page 2. The question that comes down to is, what are your priorities? What are you placing value on in your home? So I've been kind of beating up on you a little bit here on maybe some priorities that you've got out of whack. I've been a negative Nelly. So let me give you some other options. My magic book bag. It's not really magic. All right. In your home, do you do family devotions? I'm talking specifically right now to parents of younger ones. My boys, I'll give you an example. My boys, Emmett and Cademan, Emmett isn't even two yet, so it's easy to have a good track record when they're this young. But my boys have yet to go to bed a single night of their short lives up to this point without time in the Word, without a time of singing, and without praying up to this point in their life. Because that's a priority in my home. If that means that I'm 20 or 30 minutes late to getting to put my feet up, if that means that I get to bed later than I want to get to bed, if that means they get to bed later than they probably should get to bed, doesn't matter. Every single night up to this point in their life, they have yet to miss a family devotions. Are you doing it in your home? I think you need to. I think it needs to be a priority, and I think you need to make time for it. Let me tell you what we do, all right? We start with a Bible story. Now, Emmeth isn't quite two, and so this is the one we actually have a second one. This is the second one. We have another one that's the first one. Got this from Greta, the first one, actually. What this is the Pray and Play Bible. And what it does is it takes a Bible story and kind of condenses it, cuts out some of the hard things that are, you know, the harder, more graphic things that you see throughout Scripture. And it makes it, kind of just condenses it, easier for kids to understand what's in front of them. Okay? And what we do is we pick one story. We just kind of work our way through, unless it's something special like Easter for, you know, months of Easter. We do the resurrection story, but our Christmas, we do Jesus' birth. But for the most part, we work our way through this Bible, and every month we pick a new story, and we read that story every single night for a month. Because they're little, and they don't entirely understand what's going on yet, but they're starting to get it. And so that way, these little sponge brains that they have, because you know when they're little, they are just sponges, all right? Youth always comment to me how quickly Emmeth picks things up, because they'll say something and don't even think about it, just say something in passing, and the next thing they know, Emmeth is saying words that he probably shouldn't be saying for a one-year-old, because their brains are sponges, and they just pick stuff up. So we do this, and we try and make it fun. It's lighthearted. It's a good time. Then we do a memory verse, and we use this book right here, which we give out here at GCC. It's the ABC memory book. And one verse every month, we pick one every month, and we do it every single night for a month. And it's fun to watch Emmeth learn these, all right? He's not even two yet, and he can already say some of these verses with us, all right? And it's been good for me, too, because it's helped me relearn some verses I had memorized once and maybe memorize some new ones. But we pick one and we go through it every single night for a month, because that's a priority in our home. And then we sing some songs together, all right? And the reason we sing songs is because, as a youth pastor, this is what I see all the time in church, whether it's on Sunday morning or Wednesday nights. When it's time to worship, there's a whole group of junior high boys that do this. Another song. Oh, come on, Troy. All right. There's a whole group of them that suddenly think that they're too cool to sing. And I don't want my boys to ever get to the point that they think they're too cool to worship God. I want them to learn from a young age that worshiping God is an important thing to a believer. And even though I am terrible at singing, I do it because I want them to learn that it's important for them to worship and praise the Lord, and that they are never too cool to do it. All right? That, and I got to be honest, if you've got little ones, it's really fun to watch them as they start to learn these songs. All right, his favorite's only a boy named David. You get to the Goliath part. Did he just start singing it? Oh. You get to the Goliath part, and he falls down about two verses early. And he looks at you like, why aren't you on the ground? But then we always end the singing time. Every single night, we end the singing time with one song. Every single night for their entire life, they have sung this song. They have heard this song. We always end with both two verses of Jesus Loves Me. And there's two reasons I do that. One, up to that point, devotions is typically lighthearted. We're having fun. We're interacting with the boys and singing silly songs. But Jesus Loves Me is the time where we say, all right, now it's time we're going to be serious and we're going to pray. It's time to calm down. And it's kind of the calm down song. And the second reason is the second verse, Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. I think I got it just a little bit wrong. It's hard to do it saying without singing it. You got it memorized. So every single night for almost 2 years, my son has heard the gospel drilled into his head every single night. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. And so when the time comes that my boy is old enough to be accountable and make the decision on his own, he will already have an understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for him. Yeah, he may not even be 2 yet, but someday he's going to grow up and then he'll know. And then we pray together. And it's gotten to the point now, as Emmett has gotten a little older, we do prayer requests, which typically goes downhill really quickly. Let's pray for Cousin Brennan. Let's pray for Papa. Let's pray for Grandma. Let's pray for the Hulk. I've done that twice. It very quickly descends into madness as we begin praying for superheroes. But you know what? Hey, whatever. As long as my kid's excited about prayer, go for it. And we spend some time praying, and then we put him in bed. All right. That's what we do, okay? Because it's a priority in our home. Because it's important to us. Because we want our kids to have a passion for the Word. I want my kids to be successful someday. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I want to see them do great and wonderful things. If Emmett could just be even just the next punter for the Packers. But as much as I want those things for my kids, if I haven't taught my kids to love Jesus and to love his word, I failed. That's what really matters. And I want you to know that's my heart for your students as well. But if I can't do that for my kids, then I failed. I want my kids to fall in love with the Bible. And yet, you know, we do this kind of silly one now, and as they get older, we'll transition to older ones. But if I can't teach them that, then what am I doing? Well, for starters, I'm letting down God. Well, I won't go down that spiritual guilt road. What are your priorities? Too busy on Wednesday nights? What are your priorities? Can't afford to make it to those events? How much are you spending on your kids' sports equipment? What are you doing instead of going to life group? What are the priorities in your home? What really matters to you? So where you spend your time tells us where your priorities are. And my last and final point is, what your priorities are, tell me what you value. Tells me what your values are. And that's what you're teaching your kids. You need to be careful. What are the values you're passing down to your children? And some of you may need to put the brakes on and say, hold up, we're going to make some changes here. And I know some of you have older kids. And I know it could be a painful and ugly process. But you need to put the brakes on. One last thing about devotions. At some point, I'm going to have to stop doing them with my kids, which breaks my heart. Because to be honest, I really look forward to it. It's a lot of fun. But at some point, I'm going to have to stop. Because at some point, my boys are going to need to learn how to open their own Bible and read their own Bible and do prayer and reading their Bible, spending time with the Lord on their own. And some of you have kids that are at that point, that it's time for them to move on from mommy and daddy guiding their faith and for them to pick up a Bible and start to do it on their own. Because if they don't learn how to do it on their own before they leave your house, you've lost them. They need to learn how to get fed spiritually on their own. And yeah, I know that's part of my job, but I can only do so much. If you're not doing it at home, you can't expect them to do it on their own. And so, you know, parents, maybe that means you need to start doing it. It does mean that. I mean, if you're not doing that, it's a whole other conversation. You know, and I think of the grandparents that are sitting here. You have grandkids. Come and stay the night at your house. Maybe you should start doing family devotions with your grandkids when they're staying the night with you. Sit them down. Go through a Bible story. Teach them to love the Word. What are your values? What are your priorities? Where are you spending your time? What really matters to you? You could have the greatest job in the world. I could be Bill Gates making billions of dollars. But if I haven't taught those boys to love Jesus, I failed. Your kids need to come first. Well, Jesus needs to come first and then kids. What are your values? What are your priorities? All right. I know I've beat on you a little bit here. We've talked about some awkward and uncomfortable things. But I think there are things that need to be addressed. And I think there are things that you need to go home and address in your household. All right? Sometimes changes have to be made, and I know it's not always fun. I know it's not always pleasant. But protecting your kids is worth it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the kids that you put in our lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you begin to work in all of our hearts, Lord. Maybe we're single now and we're looking at someday having kids. Maybe we have kids right now. Maybe we have grandkids right now. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see where it is that we can make some improvements on how to lead and direct these children to loving you and serving you. Father, help us to see where we have misplaced our priorities. Help us to see what it is we really value. And Lord, if you're not at the top of that list in any of these homes, I pray, Father, that now you'd begin to work in hearts, that your name would be lifted high in each of these homes, Lord Jesus, that your name would be glorified. Father, for those that are here this morning and maybe visiting, I pray that you would be with them as they walk out from this sanctuary, Lord. I ask that you would speak to people, members here at GCC, and remind them to be friendly and go talk to someone and maybe plug them into a life group. Father, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your victory. What a hopeless world this would be without you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. Please rise.